The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
This week is the second week of my four-week intensive workshop that's teaching how to buy your first out-of-state investment property. This week, we went over how to assemble a team that you can trust and help you reach your goals in real estate. It was amazing. And if you are interested in joining the workshop, it's not too late. You can join the workshop and you can also get replays of any sessions that you may have missed. Next week, we're going to go over how to find and analyze properties. So if you're tired of the expensive market that you live in, if you want to learn how to buy affordable investment properties, go to outofstatemoney.com/workshop or click the link in the description of this episode. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day featuring episode 177 with Paige Turner. Paige is going to talk about the importance of mentorships and networking in the real estate business. And so let's talk about it. This is a good one. Paige Turner has been on the show numerous times. And yo, she's going to drop some gems. So without any further ado, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day feature with Miss Paige Turner. Let's go.
Who doesn't want to help a damsel in distress? You know, male or female, you know what I'm saying? Like, people want to help. And if you're hosting this meetup or if you're a leader in the meetup, we're looking for people. Like, oh my gosh, she'd be great. Number one, maybe she'll intern for me because she wants to learn the business, right? Yep. And that's something else you can offer. Like, I don't know anything, but I'm willing to just be your shadow. And if you need coffee, I'll just get you coffee. Like, I just want to come up to your office and just sit with you on Saturdays. Yeah. If you need phone calls, if you need me to drive by properties, like, you know, so you can offer your service like that, you know? And I feel that anybody getting this business should have a mentor who has successfully completed many flips in their lives and has made this a business before they even sign their name on any dotted line. You know, find somebody who's real life in your immediate area where you can go to these meetups and offer your help to. Right. And that's the best way. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I will answer your phones. You know, I will even run your Instagram for you. You know, find that exchange of service. The Bible says that a laborer is worthy of his or her hire. So it means that if you're giving me information, I should be paying you for it, you know, because you spent years and a ton of money in experience and cash, you know, a ton of time learning your craft. So I should be paid. It's not free. Yeah. Right. So I should be able to give you a service of sorts to learn from you, even if that's paying $25 to come in and sit in your meetup. You know, it's just that exchange saying that you're worth this. And you're saying back that if you want my time, then you have to make it worth my time. And you should be your biggest investment. You have to invest in yourself.
Definitely. Definitely. I love that. I love that. And I think, you know, what we did, a little role play, it helps. And there's plenty of places and websites and so forth where people can find
meetups
in every city.
When I started in Nashville, there was one, oh my goodness, it might have been 10 people when I started. It was a Nashville investors group. Mm-hmm. Might have been 10 of us. And when I left Nashville, there might have been 100 people.
Wow.
100 people who were going to those meetups. I've seen it happen out here in LA too.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, one of my flippers from season one, they started a meetup because everybody thinks they're a star if they leave Fix My Flip, which I love. You know, they turn into these like sensations on Instagram.
Yeah.
And they started their meetups with like 20 people and now literally 100 people go to their meetups.
Wow.
I'm just like, wow, you guys did that.
Yeah.
Now look at what that means. That means that they have 100 people they can call to partner with, to raise capital with, to get help from. I mean, they've created their own sphere of influence and their own network.
Yeah.
Just by saying, hey, come on, come one, come all. And then that shy person, Like, I don't know what to do. I just need help. And I'm here to help you if you can help me. And then I promise you, someone will say, absolutely, I need help. I know I need help right now, you know? And that one person says, I'll intern for you. I would probably say, sure, no problem.
Yeah. What do you need help with?
I need help with social media. I need help with some writing. And then on the TV side, I need help with decks. I need help. Mm-hmm. I mean, fleshing out ideas that Freddie and I come up with. It's all over the place, yeah. You know? So people who you think don't need that help really do. And good help Definitely. Is hard to find, you know? So it works really both ways.
Definitely. Well, you heard it here first. What Paige needs.
That was good, Sam.
One thing you talked about, Paige, is mentorship. And it's I've seen a lot online. I've seen a whole lot. And it seems like people are having a hard time properly vetting the person who they want to mentor them. And a lot of people have had unfortunate experiences because of that. Yeah. What's some advice you can give to someone who is looking for a mentor? I mean, obviously it's hard to find everything out about someone, but what are there any ways that someone could do some just initial due diligence to just get a sense of if this is a good person to work with as a mentor?
Well, I think it's hard online, especially because, you know, see, I haven't launched my mentorship program yet because I don't want to be a hustle. Like, I don't want to be, come learn from me for, well, it wouldn't be $99.99. It would be like $900,000. I'm just kidding. It would be much more than that. But I really want to make sure that people are going to gain and get something from it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I might just have to make it like, you're going to get basic tools here, mm-hmm. but I'm going to show you how to go and in your immediate neighborhood, you know, and find that mentor, which goes back to going to meetups. You know, it goes right back to that. You have to find somebody in your area, boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Because what I could teach you in LA, LA is a completely different beast of a market than anywhere else between here and New York. Mm-hmm. New York and California, completely different, you know, and the hardest markets to do anything in any industry, you know. So, but finding somebody who's right there that knows your smaller town in the middle of Alabama where you can actually go and shadow them. I mean, that goes back to just going to your meetups. And that's how you can vet the best mentor. I mean, a mentor used to be outside of being online, you know, and paying, you know, $1,900 to... Like, I love Tony Robbins, and I've given that man more money. I've given him a lot of money, and I've gone to see him several times in person. But I also watch him online. But I'll tell you what, there's something completely different when you have somebody's attention in person and it's one-on-one mm-hmm. like this. So just find that person in your neighborhood.
Yeah, and I like that you mentioned that too, because going to those meetups, you can build rapport. You can really like get to know somebody a bit better and build some trust.
Yeah.
And to your point, you know, perhaps support them and just kind of like organically build a relationship, whereas in some cases online I can see how some people might feel it's just transactional. It's like, well, I don't really know this person. I don't really know their story. I haven't really gotten a feel for them. So I appreciate and again, just emphasizing the importance of like getting back out there, getting back out in person and connecting with people.
And I'm not opposed to any online mentors.
Yeah.
Because I'll be one of them. You know, I have hundreds of people in my DM saying, please, can I sign up? So I'm going to create something, but I'm not going to discount and I'm not going to not encourage people to like say what I'm doing now. Find somebody that's a real person in your area, because I'm not gonna be able to go and talk and touch everybody. It's impossible, right? But I do want people to learn from me. I'm just trying to find the most authentic way possible that I can without it being too guru-ish.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm super real. I'm really transparent. Yeah. You know, I tell people my full story. It's a crazy hot mess. It wasn't always, like I said, I made millions of dollars during the real recession, you know, of 2007 when that housing market crashed. But, you know, with that, I also filed bankruptcy. I had to give back my brand new Escalade to save my house and I was raising my three daughters in. You know, it was a lot going on in real estate. And I had my real estate license for about 4 years. I just opened my brokerage. I went from 50 agents to 5. You know, it was horrific.
Yeah.
A horrific time, you know, and I want people to know that part, you know, and sometimes you don't find that part out just, you know, being this guru online because everything is perfect. And it's not, it's still not. I have a TV show and it's not perfect, you know, because real estate is real life happens in real estate.
Definitely. And I mean, I appreciate your transparency for sure. And I know people value that. And
thank you.
I think the intention that you have with wanting to help other people, it'll go just fine because, you know, you're coming from it with a good intention and you want people to get something out of it. So I'm sure whenever it launches, it'll be amazing.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it.
Of course, of course. So one of the things that we were talking about is, I mean, you've been in the business for a very long time, and with that comes a lot of lessons. What are some things you would do differently when you look back to 10 years ago, 20 years ago? What are some things you would do differently?
We make a lot of money. Forget flipping. Let's just talk about being, you know, real estate agents first. Mm-hmm. We make a lot of money selling real estate. I wish I would have saved more. I wish I would have set up my real estate business earlier as a business because, you know, we're not W-2'd as realtors or as flippers. We're 1099'd. Yeah. And instead of getting paid in as an individual, I should have been getting paid through my corporation so that my corporation could have paid me. And I would have ran taxes through ADP right out of that. You know, I've owed a lot. I've had a tax lien. You know, I'm like, oh, how much money? I have to pay taxes every quarter. This is years ago. But, you know, part of my transparency, nobody taught me that. Mm-hmm. We're not always taught. You know, I had a great mother growing up. My dad died when I was 8, but I had a great mother growing up. But she didn't know about credit. She didn't know about LLCs, you know, tax brackets. She didn't know about, you know, tax covering. She didn't know about any of that, you know. And I had to figure it out all on my own, basically through trial and error. That's it, you know. I wish that I would have, instead of buying my first house as a single family home, I wish I would have house hacked. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about house hacking before. I wish I would have bought a duplex, triplex, or a quad, lived in one unit, and then allowed the other units to pay my mortgage plus some. You know, and then I would have used that as leverage and an asset to go get my second loan. And I would have bought another triplex and I would have owned hundreds of them by now, you know, but I wasn't taught that. So, I mean, a lot, so much, you know, I wish that I would have been taught, well, I didn't even have a mentor, really how to run my brokerage better, you know, and sometimes buying into franchise isn't so bad. Yeah. Because they have the structure where when you're an independent brokerage, which I was for 16 years and a top black female owned brokerage, woman owned brokerage in Nashville. I'm so proud of that, that we lasted for 16 years.
Wow.
But boy, gosh, dog it. I could have done things a lot differently that would have made me more money and given me more time and rest.
Yeah.
You know, because we are, as people of color, as a woman-owned business, you know, I didn't know about a lot of the different programs, like small business programs I could have had. But even in that, like either I made too much or I didn't make enough, you know, I just wasn't, I didn't have the roadmap in time. Now I have the roadmaps, you know, now I figured it all out.
Yeah.
But I wish I would have known it starting out, or at least in the first few years. But when I started, Sam, I didn't have Google. You know, I couldn't do my .com searches. You know, I had to go to the library, you know, and then, you know, it wasn't too much help back then. So, yeah, those are a few of the things I would have changed.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.